Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Breakthrough Directions. Each week, Breakthrough Directions explores the two faces of your business, outward through marketing and client delivery, and inward, your vision, profit model, systems, team, and you, so you can grow a business you love and live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsuniversity.com, calling in live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. We have got a great show lined up for you guys today. We have my friend and co-host, Linda Feinholz, the founder of the Breakthrough Academy from breakthroughbydesign.com. Linda's calling in from a new location in Los Angeles, California today. Hello, Linda.
Hello, Gina. I'm actually sitting on a balcony looking at a giant sky view, looking at trees in the distance with a little breeze waffling through my hair. How's that for a new location?
Wow, that's awesome.
I know. I feel like I should have breakfast, lunch, and dinner parties on the balcony just so everybody can come kick back and sit on a real balcony in Los Angeles because it's fairly rare.
It really is. And as you know, I'm always sitting out on my deck next to the lake watching the little fish and the turtles and the fish.
Exactly.
Enjoying nature over here as well.
Exactly. So I have been looking forward to the guest we have with us on the show today for so many weeks. I've known Roberta Perry for a number of years in a number of settings, and back in April, I had the opportunity to watch her, shall I say, host an entire room of executives from the themed entertainment industry who had flown in from around the world for a multi-day event. And as I sat there watching her and listening to her, I thought, we have got to get her on this show because Roberta is the consummate entrepreneur and the consummate relationship builder. And I couldn't think of a better person to bring to have a fabulous hour's conversation. So, Roberta, welcome to the show.
Thank you both. It's great to be here.
I'm going to give only a little bit of background in the introduction because there are such great stories about how you came to be doing the work that you're doing now and all the various arenas that I just think I'm looking forward to weaving all those stories in. So just as a touch of background for folks, Roberta has spent many, many years in the themed we'll call the themed entertainment industry. And I say what we'll call because even the people in that industry are talking about what they perhaps ought to rename it in this era of how business and technology is changing things. So she's worked with many global brands, including Edwards Technology, Fresh Juice Global, 20th Century Fox, Cirque du Soleil, Paramount Creative Services, and the Wow Factor, which some people will know is Times Square, New Year's Eve in Times Square, and Coca-Cola. And I would love to go back to what you and I were talking about as we were wandering through the Disneyland marketplace about how you even got into this line of business and this sort of, quote, entertainment industry. So let's take people back to how it all started.
Thank you, Linda. Boy, that brings back memories very quickly here.
Yeah.
And it's great to be on the program. Again, thank you so much, Gina. Thank you, Linda. It's just an outstanding opportunity. When Linda and I were wandering down downtown Disney, we were talking a little bit about the show, and I was laughing about where I started in this industry. I actually started, it was a long, long time ago, as a secretary for the entertainment director for Stuart Anderson's Black Angus Cattle Company restaurants. And I worked my way up from secretary to the assistant entertainment director, and then I was the director of entertainment. And when I left the company to go start my own company, I had 100 nightclubs under my belt. So I headed up the nightclubs, and roughly about 300 people, DJs, worked for me. And we were responsible for the P&L of those nightclubs on the West Coast all the way through to Indiana. So it kept me on the road every week. I was on the road 5 days, so it seemed like that's all I did was travel. But I loved the opportunity of working with this amazing team of people. When I left the nightclub bar industry and started Edwards Technologies here in Los Angeles with Brian Edwards, networking has always been something that I've been passionate about because I couldn't do my job without having an incredible networking for me out there, both internally and externally to a company. So 30 years ago, actually next March, we're going to celebrate our 30th anniversary for starting the Nightclub and Bar Association. And back in those days, our very first trade show, we had 600 people at the show because we invited all of our friends. And 600 of our friends showed up, and we had our first show. And I just got the report from the board of directors because they still don't let me off the board of directors. I'm one of the only women that's ever chaired that organization. We had 33,000 people at our show in March. So we're hoping for the 30th anniversary to really reach up and capture maybe 40 to 50,000 people just to have a big party in Las Vegas.
You know what's so interesting?
That's where we started.
when I think about it, you're sort of notorious for starting associations.
Yes, I am. That's what they tell me.
Because the TEA, the Themed Entertainment Association, you were instrumental in getting that formulated and launched and into existence, weren't you?
Yes. That came out of a need that Monty Lundy was the founder of the Themed Entertainment Association, and he pulled together 30 companies here in Los Angeles, my company, Edwards Technologies, being one of them, because we were in Los Angeles, we were all working on a project overseas that was not going well. But Monty seemed to be the one that knew that all of us were having a problem with that particular client overseas, so he brought 30 of us into the room. And the funny thing was, not one of us knew the other person. We didn't know who was sitting next to us. We didn't know anybody. And for me, who comes out of a world of wanting to know people and so that we are better able to do our businesses, boy, that was a shock. So immediately, ETI, we joined the organization. And then I had the opportunity to attend or to be at one of his grand openings, and he was opening a country western bar in Malibu. Now, when I get an invitation to go to a country western bar, especially with that group, I went, okay, I'm going. So unfortunately, I think I had a cocktail, and he asked me to be head of membership for the TEA because it was just barely 6 months old. And I immediately jumped in and said yes. And then the next day I went, what was I thinking? But that it turned out to be awesome, just an awesome experience. I still love being a member of the organization. I was the third president of that organization. So Monty and then with Joe and then myself, and I held that position for 2 years. And I seemed to really like, because that's when I feel like I can bring the most to the table.
You know, Gina, it strikes me as Roberta is sharing these particular starts that we have so many people who listen to this show that are trying to figure out how to, quote, create relationships, that maybe what we need to do is put together a class on how to start your own association.
You know, that might not be a bad idea.
Oh, and please sign me up for that because I love doing that.
Yeah. It's
important. It's very important.
But it's very interesting because, Roberta, you know, let's be honest, you're an extrovert. When I think back to you in the turnaround stage with Black Angus, because that's what it was, and we didn't say that earlier, mm-hmm. but it was literally a turnaround stage. There were some fundamental things you had to do in order to get those nightclubs turned around, weren't there?
Yes, yes. And I'm sorry, I'm stumbling here in my thought process, but when I'm looking back at that, I think, wow, I was an extrovert. I've never considered myself an extrovert. I've always considered myself an introvert. That's why when the book Quiet came out, I immediately picked it up and read it, because for me, being an extrovert was a showing of my passion for a particular project or for a particular organization. But I've always considered myself an introvert. However, one of the good things that happened in my career was that when I was in graduate school, I have my undergraduate degree in communication. Thought I wanted to be a lawyer. Then I could bury myself in a library, which is a good place for a good introvert to bury herself. But something kicked me out of that, and I said, no. If I do that, I'm probably going to end up being a research librarian or research lawyer for the rest of my life. I need to force myself to be out with people. So I went to graduate school and got my master's degree in public address and rhetoric. And one of the defining moments of that year process was attending Illinois State and being part of the nonverbal communication research team that was taking a look at how nonverbal affects how we do business, how we network, how we interact with people. I loved it because it was an eye-opener for me, that 93% of our communication process, how we learn to trust somebody, have an affinity for somebody, comes from what we see, the tonality of the voice, etc. So when I took over as director of entertainment, the very first thing I did was do a survey with all of our nightclubs as to nonverbal survey, not the verbal, but nonverbally. What do we see when we hit the parking lot? What happens as soon as they cross the threshold as they walk in? What happens when our ladies and gentlemen walked in, the ladies went to the restroom. So what happens in the restroom? Well, we had these fluorescent lights. The lights made us all look green. So the thought process was, as we surveyed, I'm not going to find the man of my dreams tonight because I look ugly. So we changed out the restroom lights to a pink. So when you looked in the mirror, you looked healthy and you looked beautiful. The men would walk in, and they would do what I call the circle eight, again, nonverbal. They'd walk into the nightclub. They'd go to the right. They'd do a full circle eight pattern, looking at where they wanted to stand, sit, et cetera, kind of looking, you know, they were looking at the territory, so to speak. So I needed to be able to, and then of course my team and I, we looked at every aspect of the bar. We looked at the chairs, we looked at the high tops or the low tables, we looked at the glassware, we looked at every element of the nightclub from a nonverbal point of view, and then put together a punch list of things that needed to change, because our message was this was going to be a fun bar, a place to be where a boy and girl from next door could come and have a great time. Well, a lot of what we were doing in there went against that nonverbally. So once we got our full nonverbals in alignment with our message, then the whole place, all the places seemed to work. And money was made, and Stuart was, of course, very happy. Because when I started out, I think we were losing $1 million a year, and within about a year, we were definitely in the black.
And even beyond the black.
Even beyond the black, yes.
Yeah.
Way beyond the black. We have very successful nightclubs.
Yeah. So how did you and Brian get to know each other? Because there was a career transition that occurred because of what you were doing at the Black Angus. And, you know, these are those entrepreneurial unexpected moments. What was it you were trying to do at the Black Angus that had you and Brian meet?
Yes. Absolutely. I was opening one of our restaurants in Dallas. I'll never forget it. And the company that was doing our audio lighting, in those days we didn't have video, but it was audio and lighting, could not get me to figure out a way we could get everybody paged, et cetera. Well, this, I've always told any company, if you book for me once, if it happens once, all right, that's a mistake. But if it happens twice, you're out of the game. So I fired that company that night, and I put my entire team on, find me a company that is the best at what they do in the audio and lighting. And I'm only going to ask them one question. the GoFundMe. So we went out throughout the United States and asked, and there was one question I asked, and the question was, what is the future of nightclubs? So we got it down to two companies in Los Angeles. It just so happened that they were in Los Angeles. But every company we interviewed throughout the United States, the only thing they could tell me was there's going to be a different color disco ball, there's some other kind of lighting that's coming on, and it just didn't resonate with me. That's not the future of nightclubs, is more lighting. So when I asked Brian, I met Brian, I asked Brian what the future of nightclubs, he said, look at that wall there in front of you. And I had this big wall in our bars. And he said, think about putting a large screen up there, and we'll put it on a remote, and then there's something in the industry coming out, but I don't know how to get them, and I've heard of them. They're called music videos. Now, this is before MTV. And I went, that's it. You're absolutely, that's the future. So what we did is we hired Brian. He redid our bar to get it up to speed. And we put this remote control in there. And I went in search of music videos, found two music videos that I could borrow from the record company. Olivia Newton-John, Let's Get Physical, and the other one was a Rod Stewart. So I would play those every hour on the hour. I'd play one of them, and we'd dim the lights. Well, the nightclubs, wherever I did that, there was a line out the door because nobody had ever seen music videos before. So that's how Brian and I met. And then when I decided to leave Black Angus, I was just tired of being on the road all the time, Brian said, well, why don't we start a company together? He said, you know, the industry is not letting you go. You can't go skiing. That's what I was going to do. I was going to go skiing for 6 months. So the industry's not letting you go because you're the only one that knows how to get a hold of music videos. So Brian and I started a music video company. He already had a technology company. And several years later, we merged the two companies together, so they became Edwards Technologies. But it's been a great relationship for, boy, 30 years.
And your
30
role.
30-plus years.
Right, and your role then had to shift because rather than going out looking for vendors, now you're a vendor. So what changes in mindset and activities when you switch from being the buyer to being the seller?
That is a great question, Linda, because that in the beginning it was a little bit, it was very interesting for me. I was used to being the operations person, so I was used to going into a conversation coming from that viewpoint. But all of a sudden when that role was switched, I needed to, again, go back to my communication days and go, all right, what do I need to do differently to be in communication with somebody who's now the buyer and I'm the seller? So I went back to Monroe's Motivated Sequence, which was a five-step process that I learned when I was getting my degree in rhetoric. Dr. Alan Monroe had been approached by one of the agencies on Madison Avenue who said, and they came to him and said, we've got this new format called television. We need to learn how to sell on television. Please give us a suggestion. Dr. Monroe went back to Aristotle, the Book of Rhetoric, and pulled from that what has now become known as Monroe's Motivated Sequence, which I still use to this day, and it's got five simple parts. One, get their attention, talk to them. Two, what's the challenge facing the team or facing the person? Three, what's the solution? Four, what's the benefits? And five, call to action. So what I did is I went, that's the only thing I know, so I will use that. So when I would meet somebody that would want our services, I would immediately go into questioning so that I could ask that person, you know, what is it that brought you to us? Is there a problem you're trying to solve? Is there a challenge you're facing? And got in communication with them so that we found some place that we had a kind of there was some reality between the two of us. I wasn't just then a seller and that person was not just a buyer. Because sometimes I'd get into communication with people and they thought they wanted a particular style of music, but based on their demographic, they really needed to be into a different style and brand of music that I could provide for them. So that's what made it easier in the beginning, is going back to my communication days.
It's so interesting.
And
you
then,
know,
of course,
I,
starting associations.
Yeah, the two together. You know, I think I first heard your name when several of my friends and colleagues were doing speech training. They were
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm babbling here because I've just gone blank on the name of the organization, which is actually around the world now, that teaches people how to speak publicly. I can't believe it. I've just literally gone blank.
Oh, no, it's Toastmasters International. And we don't toast each other. But
I know. That's what's so funny. It's like, so I had the tea and then I couldn't come up with the rest of it. So how did you become involved with Toastmasters?
Well, Stuart, it was back to Stuart Anderson. Here's this person who's got her degrees, and I can't find a job in Seattle, Washington. So I go back in to do what I do best. I was very good as a waitress. So one of my friends who was at the restaurant at that time said, they're looking for a secretary over at Stuart Anderson. Why don't you go apply? And I went, but I'm not a secretary. I don't know how to type. I can't take shorthand. Are you kidding me? And he went, just go apply. So I went, okay. So I went and applied, and the good news was I was hired because the background, they needed somebody who could actually organize that department while Bob was on the road. But the first 3 days were the hardest for me because it was this brand new world that I'd entered into. And on day three, Stuart called me into his office, sat me down, and politely informed me that it was going to be a very big challenge. It's a very big challenge for women to succeed back then in the hospitality industry. However, he recommended that I go down the street and I join a Toastmasters club. And I learned how to communicate with men, and learn how to just do whatever they want you to do. And he said, in 6 months, I will assign you a project, and we'll see how you can do that, and let's see how successful you're going to be in the industry. So taking Stuart's advice, I wandered down the street. I joined Seattle General Toastmasters, 27 men and me. So the odds were great. And boy, did they train me in being able to actually, because these were all businessmen, to actually have a conversation with somebody in business. Because I came out of college. I was out of Illinois and Oregon, so I didn't really know how to communicate in a business setting. So they trained me well. 6 months later, Stuart gave me this assignment, and to this day I always laugh about it because he asked me to work with his chief, executive chef, to help him put together a menu book for the organization. And I went, you've got to be kidding me. I don't like to cook. I like to eat. I like to go to restaurants. But cooking, you have got to be joking. But I did well. Tommy Lee was just absolutely an outstanding executive chef, and I worked well with him in putting together that first manual for the company. So it worked well. So Stuart said that he thought that I possibly had a future.
Gently put.
Uh-huh. And I get to, he's still alive, and he's in Palm Springs, and I see him every couple of years. He's 90 now.
Wow. And so, but I'm following the thread through all of this because it's so interesting. You describe it as that self-awareness early on and that concern that you didn't know how to communicate and you didn't know what to look for, and you just really systematically went out and said, okay, what's the current knowledge in human interaction, human relations, and how do I take it, learn it, and then apply it in a business setting? I meet so many people who fixate on, I'm an introvert, I don't know how to talk, I don't know how to have a conversation in business and so on, and I don't see them then get off the dime and go out and learn and practice. And Toastmasters in particular is, it's a laboratory where you get to show up each time and try something different and see the reaction you get, really constructive feedback. That's the power of it, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And the organization has grown so much. We're in 122 countries now, and currently over 300,000 people. In fact, the organization is such a global. The president of the organization is from Taiwan. The gentleman coming in right behind him is out of Dubai, and the gentleman coming in right behind him is out of Canada, and then the next one in line is out of Australia. We're hoping to elect somebody from North America this year to be into that lineup. But the organization, it helps you in so many ways. One, on a communication, not only to be able to communicate with people, but to be able to communicate across different cultures. And that's so important in our business world right now. Secondly, the leadership. The tagline for the organization is where leaders are made. And leaders really do need to be able to communicate one-on-one, one to thousands, and to be able to communicate across cultures. So the organization has really expanded. And the clubs that are, that's a club organ type of clubs. Every club is a little bit different, so I always recommend that everybody that goes out and looks goes out and visits several clubs. And if you just go up under Toastmasters.org and type in your zip code or where you live, there'll be several clubs that come up. And I love visiting clubs when I'm out and about because every club is slightly different. Though they have the same program, it's a slightly different culture.
And it's really instrumental in creating leaders. I know so many people back when I was an internal consultant in Disney, I knew a number of people who were very early in their careers who went and joined one of the Toastmasters clubs that was particular, you know, geographically it was close to where all of the entertainment industry companies were. But listening to these people over time in the development, not only of relationships with other people they never would have met if they hadn't joined the Toastmasters club, but how they developed in their communication and connection capabilities and the friendships that were formed that became the through line, the threads that created careers is really remarkable, isn't it?
Absolutely. I have visited clubs all over the world because wherever I travel, I'll find a Toastmasters club because I know that, one, it's a friendly group, and, two, oftentimes I'm going to need to have a connection in that city to some of the things that I'm doing, and everybody is willing to help. If I need a connection into a government or into an organization or into a business, there's always a Toastmasters there ready to say, wow, I can do that for you, because there's a trust factor that once you're a Toastmaster, you're part of the Toastmaster family, so to speak. The first thing that I've always noticed in Toastmasters is that it builds our self-confidence. Just being able to stand up and give our opinion is an amazing self-confidence builder, because we don't get that. And then the other thing, we applaud a lot. We are constantly clapping for people inside the organization for when they speak. Well, I don't get that when I'm out and about in my daily life. I don't have, when I leave a meeting, not everybody's applauding that I'm leaving or I've done something in there. So just that little bit of applause is such a positive reinforcement to, wow, I did something well. I can do that. And it just builds our self-confidence. I'll tell another quick little story, if you don't mind, Linda.
Please.
There's several parts to the club. But one of the parts is called impromptu speaking or table topics. So you are given a topic, you need to stand up and within 2 minutes give a speech about it. I've always thought that's always been the hardest thing for me, because it's that back to that old, the brain is a wonderful thing. It starts working the minute you're born and stops the minute you stand up in public. And for me, it stops every time somebody says table topics or impromptu speaking. So it's a skill that I need to practice over and over again. When I went to Fox Studios, when I took a sabbatical from Edwards Technologies and I was over at Fox Studios for about 4 years, I was there, again, it must be that day three for me. So on day three of my arrival there, I walked by one of the boardrooms and this delightful young lady came out and she said, oh, Roberta, I was coming to find you. We want you to come do a presentation to the Consumer Products Division on what you will be doing here at Fox. And I said, oh, that would be great. I would love to do that. When would you like that? And they said, oh, in about 5 minutes. I said, great. And how long would you like that to be? And they said, oh, we're going to give you about 45 minutes. Well, I said, thank you. I said, let me go to my office to get some material, and then I'll be right back. So I walked slowly to my office, picked it up, but it was that impromptu tabletop. It came back to me, all right, what do I need from this group? What's my purpose? Am I going to inform, or do I need to persuade them? And from that, what's the outline I'm going to use to be able to do that? And all that comes very quickly to you once you've had the kind of practice in that organization. But I will never forget that, because I thought, oh, my goodness, I know nobody on this lot, and now I'm going to go in and convince the Consumer Products Division to help me. And they did. They were fabulous, absolutely fabulous. I loved working with every one of them.
That's fascinating. If you think about the skills that you're using now, for all that the themed entertainment industry and its clientele are what we might call a really small group, a small club, there's still continuous new opportunities and new people that you don't yet know. So how do you find yourself using those skills and that training when you now are out encountering people you don't yet know, don't yet have a relationship with?
Again, Linda, that's an excellent question. Some of the hardest things for people to do is introduce themselves to someone. And we, every time we survey within the Themed Entertainment Association, one of the things that comes to the top is, well, I'm not meeting people. Well, I always look at that from the point of view, if I'm not meeting people, it's because I'm not putting myself out there to meet people, and I'm not taking that first step to say, hi, my name's Roberta, what's your name? And sometimes that's the hardest thing for any of us to do. In fact, about a year ago, I had several of what I call our young 20-somethings, young ladies, come to me and say, we need help. We don't know how to network within the group. We don't know, and you're the best, and I always thank them for thinking that I am the best. But I said, okay, here's what we'll do. I will do an informal gathering of women. We'll call it, at that time, it was going to be called the Ladies of the TEA, which I put an informal, sent out an invite to the Ladies of the TEA in Los Angeles. And we got together at the Daily Grill over in Burbank. We got about 30 people the first time. And what I did is I moved around the group and I introduced people to each other, the ladies to each other. And a lot of our ladies are very bashful. They're like I was, very much of an introvert. We just don't know how to cross that line. And one of the, back in my communication research days, one of the things we learned very quickly is the person who puts their hand out first has an opportunity to control the conversation. If I wait for somebody to come to me, that person takes the lead. I don't get to take the lead. And I'm one of those women who likes to take the lead. So I was constantly that evening teaching our ladies how to just be brave, be courageous, walk up to somebody they don't know, make it a game, and say, hi, my name's Roberta. What's your name? Because in my beginning of the company, I actually forced myself to go out to networking environments. And I would say, all right, I'd talk to myself a lot and say, okay, Roberta, tonight you're going to meet 5 people you've never met before. Then you can go home. Well, once I got past the 5 people I'd never met before, then it got to be fun. Then I didn't go home. Then I would stay for the whole event. But I would make it a game. And I encouraged our ladies to make it a game. So our ladies in little ladies informal gathering, we've done 4 of those now. The last one, we had over 100 women that came to it in Orlando. And it became very obvious to the organization that we needed to actually put this in place. So we're going to relaunch in November at IAPA, the International Association of Amusement Parks and Attractions, on that Friday morning for all, and we're going to recall it, the Women of the TEA. Men are, of course, invited, but because of the topics, very few will probably show up. And we want our women to be able to work with each other, learn how to network with each other, and because that they can do business. Women do business very, very well with each other. Men do business, I mean, we all do business in different ways, but women working together are more powerful. In fact, I just heard a presentation this morning on the radio about the power of women working well together in growing businesses. And I absolutely, I know that for a fact. And it's something that we're going to be doing more of in the TEA.
So you've now grown several multi-million dollar businesses. When you look at how men do business and how women do business, what are some of the distinctions that you've seen and experienced?
Linda, I love your questions.
And Roberta,
remind
this
me,
is why
see.
I haven't jumped into the conversation yet. Questions Linda's asking are so incredible. I'm just sitting back and going, you know, I cannot ask questions nearly this good, so I'm just going to let Linda do it.
Gosh, welcome to my morning. This is great. Wow, that's so interesting. That's a fascinating question. There are differences between how men and women do business. The first one I ran into when back in the Black Angus days is men did business on the golf course. That kept, and women didn't play golf back then. So I had, in order to do business, I actually, in that kind of setting, I needed to learn how to play golf. So I went and learned how to play golf so I could actually do business on the golf course. And I do find that men like doing business in those different kinds of settings. Now, when it comes to communication, and that's really what it comes down to, I find most men... A lot of the men I deal with, not most, I won't generalize, a lot of the men that I do business with fall into two camps. One camp is what I call, I'm a Star Trek fanatic. So I find that I'm looking at the Captain Kirks out there and the Spocks. A lot of the men I do business with are the Captain Kirks. They're the real entrepreneurs that say, all right, I'm thinking that we're going to go do this. Let's just go do it. And off we go. And then we figure out how to do it as we're going down the road. And they just say to you, this is what we're going to do, and we have to figure out how to do it. And we just go do it. The other group is the Spock gentlemen, who are very analytical, and everything needs to be planned out. And when I'm working with that type of gentleman, then I need to make sure that I am absolutely detailed in my dealings with that particular person. For women, I find that there's a couple other categories there. There's a lot of women, I was in a great meeting yesterday with a couple of these women, we have a tendency to have 1,000 balls in the air. And it's sometimes for us women when we put 1,000 balls, because we're multitaskers, we've got so many things we have to take care of, and in our business we sometimes throw an awful lot up in the air. Well, then it's my job when I'm in communication with them to pull one of those down and actually be able to get that resolved and handled. And when I do that, it seems that I can move a business transaction forward. The other side for us women that I really, really like is that we have a tendency, which I admire, to care about our people. We really, really care about our people. And we care about our teams. So I think sometimes much more so than our men. Not that our men don't do it or men don't do it in business, but I like women on my teams who remind me that when the task or the project gets really, really hard, that I shouldn't be worrying about the task as much. I mean, I should be worrying about the task and the project that needs to be completed, but I also need to be taking a look at the team. What is this? What's going on with the team right now? What's the stress level of the team? What needs to be done? Do people need to be pulled off the team that are not fully functional on that team and other people put on that team? But I need to be, and we women do that. I'm absolutely have enjoyed listening to Mary Barr, who's the CEO of General Motors, and listened to her again today, because even in her presentation to her organization that we were all listening to, I think, on the radio, I was impressed that she had to make some tough decisions, but she still she cared about the team and the effect on the internal team, not only the external team, and of course all of that what she was having to go through with the deaths that were associated with her product. I can't even imagine being in that kind of position, but I was impressed with how she was handling that.
It's fascinating because when I think about the industries that you've worked in, particularly the entertainment industry, it's laden with men, the technologists, especially
my
nowadays.
Spocks.
Yeah, yeah, laden with the Spocks. And when I think about the women I know who are in that industry, you know, what some of our listeners may not understand is that if you go back 30 or 40 years, there wasn't a whole industry. There were a couple of companies, and one was called Disney. But every time Disney cycled and opened a park and then said, we don't know what we're doing next, they laid people off, and those people now had trained disciplines and turned around and went, what am I supposed to do with myself? Well, maybe a museum could use this skill. And so what happened is each time, and I'm generalizing when I say Disney, but when the very large companies that had done major projects that had absorbed people's talent and skills and minds for several years would create reductions in force, what they were doing was creating both their own competition, but also flushing out into the world people who had this training and expertise and way of imagining how to use space and connect people with ideas and so on. And it's what spawned this worldwide phenomenon of theme park design and museum design and restaurant design.
Oh, absolutely.
And so when I think about the people I've known throughout that industry, you know, it's really fascinating the mix of men and women who are in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very much...
Absolutely.
And it's very much an industry that depends on people knowing how to team and team on projects, which is very different than typical business, which is sort of, well, we've got the open road ahead of us, so we'll figure it out, and, you know, we're heading over there somewhere. It's really different, isn't it? You've got a project has delivery space.
Oh, yes. So different. Universal Studios and Disney are constantly building up their teams internally for a project, and then when the project's done, they're letting those teams go out into our industry. And two things happens when they go out into the industry. One is we usually, myself and other past presidents of the TEA, get a call right before that happens to let us know that there's going to be a huge influx into our industry, and would they mind if they were given our names? Because the problem that occurs within industry, and I think it occurs for a lot of us, we've got so much on our plate, we forget to network when we're within our companies so that when we're released into the universe, we have no place to go because the only people we've known were the people within the group. Now, the good news about Universal and Disney is that once you're part of those teams, you can go anywhere in the United States and you will find ex-Universal and ex-Disney people, and you can continue to keep that association going. And there's always business to be garnered from those associations. But also, as soon as they would come out, we would get them involved in the TEA so that they could meet the other companies. So there might be job openings for the other companies, or they might decide, like you said, Linda, to start their own company, start their own consulting firm. I think at any one time within our organization, 60% of the companies are one-person companies because they've been released. They've now a consulting. They might bring on two or three people maximum, and they'll go on and take on other projects. But so the key to that is always the networking, both internally in an organization and externally because you just never know, especially in this day and age, where you're going to need to know people in order to get your next opportunity. Secondly, and you mentioned it, Linda, is teamwork. Not only how to work on a team, but how do you build a team? What kind of people do you put on that team given an opportunity? I highly recommend to everybody to get at least one course or class under their belt about teamwork every year, just to remind us how do you work with a team? How do you build a team? I know within Toastmasters, we offer teamwork and team building classes every 6 months because it's so important for all of us to be able to have that skill under our belt.
And what's fascinating is that 60% statistic, because I have to believe in so many arenas and so many other industries, as people found themselves let go from jobs, their world disintegrated because so much of their relationship and their connectedness was with their fellow coworkers, and they did not know what to do next. And look, I've had so many changes in career. Most of them were ones I chose, and yet it was only recently, truly, I'll generalize and say, only in the last 10 years that we had internet connectedness in order to stay in touch with people, even if we weren't seeing them. And prior to that, relationships just evaporated.
Mm-hmm.
So if you weren't part of the association, such as you've been describing, if you weren't involved in some location-based anchor experience that you could keep going back to stay in a tribe, you know, it could be incredibly lonely there.
Well, absolutely. Do you mind if I share another career story?
Please do.
I was at Fox Studios, and I decided to change careers. I had a 4-year contract, and my contract was up on June 30th of 2001. And at that point, I decided what I wanted to do was I was going to work for a European company who was bringing investment into the United States in the entertainment industry, and I was going to go down that path. Well, it was a little slow on the startup, which was fine. I could have a couple of months off, which was great for me. I could go back to my hometown in Seattle. September, we were going to get funded. And unfortunately, September 9th came along, and that was the day we were being funded. And then September 11th happened, 2001. And the investment dollars went back to Europe within 30 days. And I will never forget standing in my home office going, what am I going to do now? I don't have a job. The world is falling apart around me. What am I going to do? So I went, again, talking to myself, all right, I have some great friends out there. I'll start calling those people who are very, very successful at what they do and ask for recommendations. So I called a dear friend of mine, Cindy Oliver, and I said, Cindy, and she goes, Roberta, start your own company. Be a consultant until you find a company you want to go work for. I went, it's like the light bulb came on. But had I not been well networked out of my industry, I wouldn't have had a list of people. Cindy said, call your friends, tell them what's going on, and see what they say. Well, I called this whole list, probably about 10 or 12 people, and they all said the same thing. Go get some business cards done, get your legal roots in, become a consultant, and figure it out. And so I went, okay, so I could, at least then I got into the doingness and getting me through that terrible time, when our world was truly falling apart around us. And I got my business cards, and then I let everybody know that I was now a consultant and here were what I could bring to the table. And lo and behold, out of nowhere, but through one of my contacts, Cirque du Soleil showed up and hired me for a project that they were doing. And I must tell you, Linda, that not only was that the scariest time of my life because of everything going around externally, but it was also the most exciting time of my life. When you're faced with, wow, this is a huge barrier externally and for me, and what do I do? But if I wasn't well networked and did not have these incredible business associates out there who could help me think through it, I don't know what I would have done at that point. I really don't. So it's no matter what barrier comes up, there's always a way around it, under it, over it, and we have friends that we can call when we're well networked, outside as well as inside an organization.
Yeah, it really it helps one find a new balance.
Yes. Yes, well put.
Yeah. So what had you shift from consulting back into building another multimillion-dollar business?
Well, that's very easy. I don't do well as a consultant. I like to be around people. I keep thinking, you know, I'm an introvert, but the reality is I like being with teams. I like building teams. I like being on teams. And I worked as a consultant for 6 years. And during that entire time, whatever business I ran into that Edwards Technologies could be involved with, I would, of course, bring Brian and the team in because they're the best at what they do. So at one point, Brian got back to me, I think it was about 2006, close to the June of 2006, and he had just gotten an investment in from Europe and wanted to know if I would help to run that investment in building 3D theaters in the museum world. They were all going to be at no cost to the museums, and the investment would pay for it, and then we would do a partnership with the museums. And I immediately jumped at that because I like having an office in a building around people. I just can't do it. That's something I had to learn about myself that I never thought that I like to be around people, and especially in a business setting.
It's funny, isn't it? You know, the show is Breakthrough Directions, and it's like, what are those various ahas that we have that are the light goes, we realize new things about ourselves and new directions we want to take ourselves.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Now, I have some friends that are absolutely, like you, Linda, that are absolutely phenomenal consultants. It's just not in my blood.
You know, what's so funny is I love being part of a team. It's an interesting juxtaposition to be both not a joiner but love being in a team. You know, like how do you figure out how to find a team in order to get on it? But really, you know, it's been really thought-provoking, Roberta, because this whole notion of associations is, you know, you go to association meetings and it doesn't matter whether it's a chamber of commerce or whatever, and everybody clumps with who they already know, and there's this awkwardness when you first walk in. And I think it's been really illuminating and given me a lot of food for thought, and I'm sure our listeners too, to think about ways of deliberately using the opportunity that an association, its existence, its gathering of people, really does present with the lightest of touches, how to be in that setting and create connections and build them over time, both for how to center and balance oneself, but also in order to create community, create relationship, create opportunities for business and so on.
Yes. Yes, and if one has trouble with that, like I oftentimes, even though I talk to myself and I'm going to play my game of going in to meet five people, that is still very difficult. So if I'm in a new association, I'll volunteer to be on the social committee or on the membership committee. That gives me an excuse to be able to say hello to people and meet people that I wouldn't have an opportunity to just meet in going out and introducing myself.
It's
an easier way for me.
It's so interesting. I remember years ago somebody saying, always have a role. Have a reason you're in the room, but have a role so that it helps you quiet the concerns and the mind chatter. You know, and if you're on the greeting committee, then you know exactly why you're walking over to people. It's like you put on a little jacket called, I've got my role of being a greeter, being, you know, a committee chair or something.
Yeah.
And it's really funny how we humans rewire ourselves just because we got a label.
Yes, yes, and it makes it easier to meet people, and I'm much more relaxed when I have a role versus just walking in and having to play my Roberta game.
Yeah,
it's a great label for that.
It really is.
I want to make sure we tell our listeners where they can find out more about Roberta.
So, Roberta, we have all kinds of places people can go, including robertaperry.com, including toastmasters.org. Where else would you like people to be able to go learn more?
Well, certainly up on in the company under edwardstechnologies.com. I've got my bio up there. And if anybody would like to reach out and have an additional conversation, I'm certainly open to that. That's not a problem at all. And the information is on either robertaperry.com or edwardstechnologies.com in order to get a hold of me.
wonderful. And you do a tremendous amount of speaking at conferences and so on. And what's so interesting is when I was at the gathering at the themed entertainment industry, every time your name came up, people's faces lit up and they said, "She's remarkable." And then when I was at the Women TEA event, every single person, as we introduced ourselves and said, you know, "How did you come to be here?" They all said, "Well, Roberta."
Yes, I do like connecting people to people. It is so much fun. And then watching what happens.
And you're an amazing recruiter.
Yes, I think I would go into recruiting if I was thinking about another career.
So let's see, some of the many places that you can be found is the International Association of Amusement Parks and Attractions, IAPA, the Urban Land Institute, the Themed Restaurants Conferences, the Entertainment Retail Conference, the Leisure Expo, Tile in Europe, World Gaming Congress, and the Nightclub and Bar Annual Conferences. You know, I have to tell you, if nothing else, it sounds like you get to fly around the world partying.
That's what some people think, yes.
So what's next? What's your focus?
Well, if you can't have fun while you're doing business, Stuart Anderson was always the one that said, work hard and play hard. So I've taken his advice to heart.
I love it. So what's the work that's upcoming next for you and Edwards Technologies?
Oh, we have so many exciting projects going on in the Middle East, actually. We're working with Gensler on the new DreamWorks theme park, and we're working with Legoland. We're finishing up designing their new theme park over there, and we've got several projects over there. On the retail side, we're working closely with Quiksilver in expanding their offerings within the stores technology-wise. And then we're also working with Sega BBC on their next indoor theme parks. We launched the first one for them in Yokohama, Japan, in November, and now we're looking at their next two or three. So we've got a lot of exciting projects going on.
And how much of your time is spent on airplanes nowadays?
Well, the first 6 months of the year, I got my gold status back up for my hotels and for my air. So I'm hoping to take off a couple of months right now, not have to travel too much. But then September are really our conference season starts, and that's my job, is to go out to the conferences and meet new people, potential clients.
And so
I'll be back on a plane.
There we go. And so it's back out there building new relationships and building on the relationships that already exist in order to grow a business.
Absolutely.
Amazing. So I think I can't thank you enough for everything you shared today, because I think it was so much food for thought for people who are in every kind of business. You know, I know we have people who are listening who are information marketers. We have people who are, you know, coaches and authors and speakers and people running bricks and mortar companies as well. And everything that we talked about today, it's like it's so applicable, whether you're thinking on a community level or thinking on a broader level, all about this notion of relationships. Building and how to presence oneself in order to build relationships. I can't thank you enough for everything you shared today.
Thank you, Linda. It's just always a joy to do whatever it is you want me to do. You've been wonderful to work with. And Gina, it's a pleasure meeting you, and thank you again. I appreciate both of you having this opportunity.
Well,
for
I have really enjoyed this show so much, Roberta, and if there is anything at all I can do to help you, please just let me know. Fascinating,
absolutely
fascinating show. Thank you so much, Linda. Thanks,
my
Roberta.
Pleasure.
And as all of you know, we will be back same time, same place next week for another episode of Breakthrough Directions. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Join us Tuesday at noon Eastern for the next episode of Breakthrough Directions, from relationship marketing to business success.